A new NBC Wall Street Journal poll finds that the most popular presidential candidate in either party is one who's not yet running, Vice President Joe Biden. He's got a 40% favorability rating and is seen unfavorably by just 28%. Hillary Clinton, by comparison, has a 39% favorability rating, 47% unfavorable. Biden hasn't yet said whether he'll run for president, but he is eligible to participate in the first Democratic debate on October 13th, as long as he files the necessary paperwork to run by that day. Stay tuned. On the Republican side, a lot of the attention has shifted from 2016 to the election in the House of Representatives to decide who will replace Speaker John Boehner, who started his career in the House in 1991, which was just 2 years after another giant of the House left Congress. I'm talking about Jack Kemp, the Republican pro football player turned congressman turned cabinet secretary turned vice presidential candidate. He died in 2009, but he's the subject of a new book called Jack Kemp, the Bleeding Heart Conservative Who Changed America. The authors are two longtime Washington watchers, Fred Barnes and Mort Kondracki. They're with us from New York right now. Welcome to both of you.
Hi, Jeremy. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Well, it's great to have you. And one thing is clear from reading this book, which is that you both think Jack Kemp was just the best. So tell us what was so great about him.
Well, you know, I think he's relevant to today, but what he did in his own time was to write what became Reaganomics. He was the original author of Kemp-Roth, which was supply-side economics turned into actual policy. And people forget what the 1970s were like. Very high unemployment, very high inflation, long gas lines, terrible public morale and stuff like that. And Reagan, using Kemp's original tax cut and then tax reform, which Kemp also pioneered, basically turned the economy around for almost a quarter of a century and contributed to the demise of the Soviet Union. American morale boomed, and the most of the world thought that democratic capitalism was the way to go.
And you write that it wasn't always easy for people like Jack Kemp, who believed in this supply-side theory, to convince Ronald Reagan that this was the way to go.
You know, Reagan was always a tax cutter, but he liked targeted tax cuts, and he had to be sold on the supply side tax cuts that are rate reductions on individual income. And, you know, it's the supply side tax cuts that spurred economic growth that is what has over the years thrilled conservatives about Jack Kemp. But, you know, he's one of the few Republicans liked by both conservatives and liberals, and liberals will cite more that he had an anti-poverty program. He was pro-immigration. He was pro diversity. He was positive, bipartisan. He was a Republican with an urban policy. Think of that. So,
well, what happened then? Where did that go? Where did that part of the party go? Where would Jack Kemp fit into today's Republican Party?
I think Jack Kemp would have a hard time in today's Republican Party. Although there are some Republicans who want to borrow some of what he's doing. Marco Rubio and Rand Paul and Jeb Bush. Are trying to develop anti-poverty programs. Jeb Bush's motto is the right to rise, which comes straight out of Abraham Lincoln, who was Kemp's hero and which Kemp built his growth program around. John Kasich talks about growth all the time. Kemp's favorite answer to every question was that if the economy grew enough, that the whole society, it was John F. Kennedy's notion, a rising tide lifts all boats. So if the economy is growing fast enough, everybody benefits. He wanted the Republican Party to once again become the party of Lincoln, attractive to minorities.
Well, do you think that John Boehner would be considered a Jack Kemp conservative?
I don't think so. I think you have to go – you have to look a little elsewhere in the House of Representatives. Certainly Paul Ryan, the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, who actually worked for Kemp after Kemp left Congress and left the Bush cabinet at a now defunct think tank called Empower America. And he learned at the footsteps of Kemp. Kemp was different in this respect, though. Kemp was incredibly dynamic and someone who, look, if the rest of the Republicans didn't agree with him, he'd go right around them and appeal to the public for his tax cuts and what he believed in. Ryan is a man of Congress, and he's tied down to the Ways and Means Committee, which makes him a little less ambitious.
How successful can you be, though, when you do that, when you decide, you know what, I can't convince the members of Congress to go along with me, so I'm just going to go straight to the public and try to change everybody's mind so that they can convince their representatives to do that? That's not always a successful strategy.
Well, what Kemp did was he worked his colleagues to the point where sometimes they ran down the hallways to hide from him. But he eventually convinced Bill Brock, who was the chairman of the Republican National Committee, and the Republican Party was in terrible shape after the 1974 post-Watergate election and then the 1976 election. He was looking for new ideas for the party, and that's what Kemp offered. So suddenly supply-side economics, tax cuts, Kemp-Roth – became policy. But the biggest thing that Kemp did to advance it was to convince Ronald Reagan. And Ronald Reagan was looking for something positive to be to run on, and bought it and converted it into policy, and it worked.
You know, Kemp really worked the press too. The first time I met him was in 1981, and I went with him when he flew up to Buffalo to do a couple events. And I didn't get a – I thought, boy, I'm going to question him a lot. I'll really learn a lot. I didn't get a question in. Kemp talked the whole time. He was trying to make me an acolyte, and – eventually, I became one.
Well, yeah, and actually, you write about how long he sometimes went on in his speeches in this book. He did run, as we said, for vice president with Bob Dole in 1996, and I want to listen to a little bit of him here speaking to the Republican National Convention that year.
Today, on the eve of the new American century, it's time to renew the American promise and to recapture the American dream and to give our nation a new birth of freedom. With liberty, equality, and justice for all. That's what it means to be a Republican.
Why weren't they successful in that election if he was such a great conservative?
Because, well, for one thing, he was the number two candidate on the ticket. Bob Dole was running. And, you know, Bill Clinton had peace and prosperity going for him, high popularity ratings, and I don't think there was any way that they were going to win. Now, Clinton also had scandals, not only personal scandals but political scandals, and both Dole and Kemp hesitated to attack Dole because he had the reputation of being a grump, and Kemp because he didn't ever attack anybody. I mean, Jack Kemp was incapable of negative campaigning, which is another big difference from today. And so in a debate with Al Gore – he basically blew it. The first question was, what do you think about Clinton's ethics? And Kemp said, our opponents are our adversaries. They're not our enemies. And Bob Dole and I are not going to go low road.
You know, some people listening to you talk about Jack Kemp and especially his pioneering in the world of supply side economics may think, well, that's exactly that strategy has not worked for this country. And they look at 2008 and say even after tax cuts in the Bush administration, the economy tanked and supply side doesn't work. It doesn't lift all boats. Should people who don't like supply side economics direct their ire at somebody like Jack Kemp?
Boy, I don't think so. It worked for a long time. Remember, the tax cuts were passed in 1981. For the next 20 years or more, they worked with strong economic growth and shrinking unemployment and really prosperity. The Bush tax cuts were not were certainly not the match for the Kemp-Reagan tax cuts. And now, you know, there are tax increases that have been imposed by Barack Obama, and we've had slow growth. I think the contrast between what Obama's done and what Kemp and Reagan did really favors Kemp and Reagan.
But you've also had a big rise in income inequality over that time, which Jack Kemp would probably be looking at and saying, you know, something needs to be done here.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah, he would. He would. And, you know, one of the things that Kemp was for was tax reform. And what tax reform is all about is eliminating special interest breaks. There's a letter that Kemp wrote to David Stockman, who was the budget director for Reagan, was constantly trying to raise taxes. And Kemp wrote him, "How is it that you're always in favor of cutting food stamps and Medicaid and welfare, but you're not willing to go after Exxon, Boeing, and General Motors? You know, I mean, we've got an economy clogged up with special with what they call renting rents of ethanol requirements and sugar quotas and farm subsidies and all that kind of stuff. And I think Kemp would have cleared the deck on all of that."
Okay. More Kondracki and Fred Barnes. I'm so glad we got to talk all about Jack Kemp. But while I've got you here, because you've been watching Washington for so long, I just want to ask you really quick. We've only got about 30 seconds left. Who's going to be the nominee in the Republican Party? Mort, let me start with you.
John Kasich.
Okay. Fred Barnes.
I said that once, but that was a few days ago. I'm going with Jeb Bush.
Jeb Bush. Okay. Mort Kondracki and Fred Barnes, their book is called Jack Kemp, The Bleeding Heart Conservative Who Changed America. We've got an excerpt at hereandnow.org. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks, Jeremy.
We enjoyed it.